Sleep well?
Morning, sleeping beauty.
Morning.
Still sleeping.
You know, it's such a beautiful morning.
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday, and
I want some coffee.
I want coffee.
What do you want for breakfast?
Just coffee.
Just coffee.
I'll just have coffee, thanks.
Caffeine is not a food group.
Says you.
Says you.
You know what else I just realized?
What?
It's almost the weekend. Maybe it'll be sunny.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
I gotta get to work. Work? I'm going to work.
What?
It's showtime.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
Good morning and welcome. How's everybody doing this morning? Feeling well?
Well?
All's good? Good.
It's cold.
It is. You know, actually, it's not any colder than it was yesterday morning. It's just the wind that makes it feel that way.
Yep.
It's a wind chill factor out there this morning. It's 38 degrees.
Winter is coming.
Yes. It's on its way. Okay, stuff we got coming up on the program today. We got Win a Grand in 60 Seconds coming up in about 12 minutes here this morning here. We have your Dirty Laundry at 7:45. What are you going to be covering in Dirty Laundry today?
Matt Lauer's not doing well.
Really?
I don't really care, but we'll discuss. Okay. I mean, I care, but I don't feel bad for him. Maybe that's how I should say it.
I understand.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw Wally last night. I was out with Wally.
Oh, you
well, I tell you what, that guy, he's happy about everything.
Is he really?
He's, you know what? He's just got a great attitude toward life.
He's not working. He doesn't have to come in here every day. I have a great attitude.
Could have something to do with it. So you went to the Traditions last night.
The Tradition
night, right?
Last night, which was spectacular. I was a total fanboy. I got to meet Terry O'Reilly and the legendary Don Cherry and Rick Middleton. It was awesome.
Fantastic.
Like I was 7 years old.
Hey, did you see Richard Petty?
Richard Petty comes in. He comes in like a 3D movie. I mean, he's got the big scarf on. He's got the hat.
He's the only guy wearing a hat like that.
That's right. He's hard to miss.
Okay, that's good. Other things we have coming up this morning. Let me see. We got at some point, maybe in Dirty Laundry, we can talk about Mel B's tattoo.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
Oh, this is...
That's just kind of gross.
This is strange. Very strange.
We will touch upon this.
Okay. Other things. Who do you think is the hardest person to Christmas shop for? Of all the people on your list. You know, give this some thought.
Okay.
They've decided that person in your life who is the most difficult to Christmas shop for.
I would guess a dad.
Okay, you say dad,
right? I say a dad.
A lot of people say dad. Dad is actually number two on the list, okay?
I think I know who's number one then.
Hey, remember Big Mouth Billy Bass? The fish that you'd be out on the wall that would sing? The new Big Mouth Billy Bass is here just in time for the holidays. You got to get a load of this.
There was a version of that was...
It was an X-rated version.
It was an X-rated version.
Oh, the Spencer Gifts version?
Yes. Yeah. I remember that. Okay. So we got that coming up this morning. Hey, did you hear about Woodstock 2?
Uh-uh.
This could be really...
Didn't we already do that?
No.
Oh.
No, this is going to be in the same place where they had... Very close to the same place where they had the original. You can't believe the list they've got performing of this thing. Yeah. So we got that coming up this morning here. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes.
This has made the Twitterverse explode.
Well, finally, people are standing up for Rudolph and slamming Santa.
Okay. All of this is coming up this morning right here on the Ho-Ho-Ho Lorne and Wally Mornings.
105.7 WROR, the Lorne and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
It's fun and games time here on the Lorne and Wally Mornings Show. We got a player on the line ready to his absolute best here to defeat the evil queen of questions.
Oh, my God. You know why I love this now? It's because it gives you an opportunity to call me evil, diabolical.
So the player is Paul Garrity, who is from Woburn, Massachusetts. He's in the recruiting business. Paul, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Great, thank you.
Oh, you like a headhunter?
Well, I work for a company, so I recruit people for our company.
Gotcha. You know, not an agent. I'm kidding.
Okay. So, Paul.
Well, I don't know. We don't hire any evil people.
Darn.
The only thing standing between you and $1,000 in Century Bank is 10 questions and 60 seconds. LBF is going to ask you those 10 questions in 60 seconds. You'll hear the buzzer, the ticker in the background. If the buzzer goes off, that means your time is up. If you don't know an answer, go ahead and say pass, move on. If we have time left at the end, we'll pick them up. You get them all right, you got the cash. So are you ready to play?
Sure, why not?
Okay, everybody, let's play Win a Grand in 60 seconds. Go.
How old are you?
60.
What spirit is mixed with ginger beer and a Moscow mule?
Pass.
Who sailed in the Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria?
Columbus.
Margaret Mitchell wrote this book.
Pass.
What is Kyrie Irving's Celtics jersey number?
11.
What color is vermilion a shade of?
I'm sorry?
What color is vermilion a shade of?
Purple.
What is the most common blood type in humans? AB, AB, or O?
O.
What is the only fruit to have seeds on the outside?
Strawberry.
I've had the time of my life as the love song from this movie.
Pass.
How many joints does an adult human have?
400.
What spirit is mixed with ginger beer and a Moscow Mule?
Vodka.
Margaret Mitchell wrote this book.
Oh! Hey, strong showing.
Strong showing.
Six correct, as a matter of fact, which I consider a very strong showing.
Yes, it is.
Yep. Okay, that last one was tough. How many joints does an adult human have? The answer, of course, depends on if you've been to
Northampton.
Okay, let's review.
The answer to that question is 360. So you weren't really completely off. I've had the time of my life as the love song from Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
Vermilion is a shade of red, and Margaret Mitchell wrote Gone with the Wind.
Ah, that was a fine job, though.
Good job.
Did you lie about your age?
We have a consolation prize here this morning.
Yeah, well, I'm not as old as Lauren at Wall, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, really. I mean,
who is?
Right out loud.
Who is, really?
Okay, a family four-pack of passes to get in the spirit with Santa at Sea aboard the luxurious Beauport Cruise Lines of Gloucester, Massachusetts. This is really a terrific time. You sing holiday carols with the elves. You enjoy hot cocoa, cookies, listen to reading of the night before Christmas, plus a visit from Santa himself. Right there.
No, Brian Bellis, Santa.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're
going to
like this. Hey, anybody else you want to check this out, visit BoatPartCruises.line for more information. Hey, have a terrific time on the boat, okay, Paul?
You're going to love hot cocoa. She is beautiful.
Okay. See you later. Anybody else you want to play, all you got to do is sign up. We'll call you when it's your turn. Log on to WROR.com.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Here we go, everybody. Time for your Man from Maine episode.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Man from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Lem has finally decided it's time, and he's popped the question to his longtime girlfriend, Ernestine Pig. Now he's talking to Ernestine's father to ask for his permission when we hear...
So, Mr. Pig, I'm hoping it's okay with you if me and Ernestine get married.
Well, Lem, do you really think you make enough money to support a family?
Well, yes, sir, I do.
Well, maybe you better think long and hard about that. Remember, there's 12 of us, including Cousin Eunice.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. Lorne and Wally. The Lorne and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
Okay, so who is the hardest person on your list to buy for Christmas? What do you think? Okay. Now, LBF said she took a guess, because they did a big study, a big survey on this, and they said, like, number two on the list was...
Dad.
Always
father,
stuff to buy for
like,
dad.
He just gets what he wants. Like, you go, like...
Exactly.
He's like, well, I needed it, so I'm going to go out and get it.
Yeah, I mean...
And he always does it, like, 3 weeks before Christmas.
That's not a surprise.
No, just a new pair of gloves and a Lowe's gift card, and leave me alone.
Wow,
we're
okay.
Very easy. What about your mailman? Very tough to buy for.
Nah, not even close.
Okay.
My parents are hard to buy. What do you buy your parents?
Your parents, okay, yeah. Well, no. Your mom's a little tough to buy for, but, you know, moms are much easier than dad, in my opinion. Dad's got everything he ever needed. And so
the
big study they found out, your significant other is the most difficult because, and I think it's because...
You have to live with them after it's a real dud.
Precisely. It's because there are so many pitfalls when you're buying a gift for a significant other.
Speaking of which, when I first got married, I used to like to ski quite a bit. So I bought my wife new skis, new boots, new bindings. I bought her a winter jacket. Like, oh, we got to go do something. She's like, I broke my leg twice. I don't want to go skiing.
So that wasn't a hit?
Never. Oh, terrible.
Okay, so I buy my wife this is really a huge mistake, a treadmill. Okay, you know. Loves to walk, run, bike, all that stuff. Wants to stay in shape and all that stuff. Treadmill. Horrible mistake.
Terrible. I could have told you that. Why didn't you consult
me? I was stupid.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, even my wife tries to make it easy. Like, sends me a list with links and everything. Like, these are the things that I want. Mm-hmm. 1 year, she wanted, I've told you guys this, these nice, like, boots.
Sure.
You know, tall boots. Yeah. And she sent me the link. And I was on Amazon and I saw a deal for them. And I looked at the link she sent me and I looked at the thing and I'm like, these are pretty much the same.
Bingo.
So I ordered them. The only difference is they were, I didn't realize this was even a thing, they were wide calf boots.
Doesn't go over well.
Let me just tell you, you do not want to get your wife anything that says wide calf on it. I thought they just made it for fat cows.
Really?
So that didn't go over
do
well.
Do you still have them? Does Kate still have them? Because my wife's calves are enormous.
You know, shout out to Amazon because they actually swapped them out on Christmas Day and they had them the next day. So
amazing.
I don't know. I think I learned from my parents. One Christmas, it was really bad. My father gave my mother one of those mirrors that you find in usually hotel bathrooms that magnify your face.
Yeah, and sometimes they have a little light around them so you can get up real
close. She had admired it at the hotel.
Yeah.
And so my father got it for her. Oh, my God. What am I going to do with this, Bruce?
It looks like the surface of the moon.
Do I have
hairs growing out of my face?
It was so bad. We were like slowly backing out of the living room not to disturb the lady with the mirror.
Put the mirror down and nobody gets hurt.
Mirror on the wall. Ooh.
Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
On 105.7 WROR.
Okay, the question is, which city in America do you think came out in the rankings of the best sports cities in America? Of all the cities in America.
I think we're biased, Lauren.
Okay, we could be a little biased on this because we would think, we should definitely be number one.
We have 11 championships since 2001.
Yeah, so what they did was Wallet Hub, because, you know, put your money where your mouth is, you really want to know.
You really shouldn't, because you don't know where that money's been.
Well, that's very true. You never know where that mouth has been. So anyway, what they did was they decided, okay, we're going to do a comparison on this based on fans, what they watch, what they do, and how much money they spend on the sports. For example, in 2017, last year, in the U.S., nearly three-quarters of all adults claimed to be sports fan, and 86 of the top 100 telecasts watched on TV or on same-day events were sporting events. You know, all you got to do is look at the TV ratings and see how many people are watching, like, football, for example, right now. And so Wallet Hub went out, and they did you know how cybermetrics are really big in sports now with, baseball, they do all the cybermetrics. So they did a cybermetric thing here with spending on the five biggest sports in America. Football, baseball, basketball, hockey, and soccer. And
just so the soccer people wouldn't get mad.
That's right. So the soccer people wouldn't be offended. Okay. So what city do you think came out number one? You are absolutely correct, ladies and gentlemen. When they factored all of them in all together, it was Boston, Massachusetts. For example, baseball. I kind of surprised out this. Baseball, we were number five, but then you think about it. New York's got two different teams to cheer for.
Yeah, so a lot of baseball in L.A.
L.A.'s got like a million different teams out there. So,
and they're the worst fans. They show up in the third inning, they leave in the sixth.
Yeah, really, okay. Let's
want to go to the beach.
Yep.
That's my kind of fan.
Let's talk football. Boston came in number four. Okay, and I can understand that because New York's got a couple teams. L.A.'s got a bunch of teams out there.
Is Dallas in the list?
Dallas is in the list.
It's not about quantity. It's about quality, I realize, when it comes to teams. Every state's got, like, a bunch of teams, but they all stink. Losers. I know what I'm talking about.
That was good, though.
Right? Did I sound
really
like
good.
An angry Boston sports fan?
Yeah, that was excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well done. Okay.
It's like you've been watching baseball since the beginning of the World Series.
Like you're allowed to go on a rant now. Yeah. Okay, how about basketball? Basketball, Boston came in number two. And
what about the Orlando Blooms?
Okay. What about hockey? Boston came in number one.
Yeah. Number
in
one
hockey. Okay,
that's right.
So you take our rankings in baseball, football, basketball, hockey. We're like 1, 2, 4, and 8. And then we appreciate
Boston.
Sports. All right.
Soccer, we were like 15th, but nobody. So the soccer people wouldn't get upset. Okay, and so. You add all this together, and Boston is the number one sports city in all of America. So I just thought I'd pass that along to you this morning.
And number one in hockey, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And those number one hockey fans, they're going to turn out in droves. It's the toughest ticket in town right now because tonight at the TD Garden, it is a very big night. The Bruins are retiring Rick Middleton's number 16 before the Bruins face off against the New York Islanders. Called nifty for his ability to operate in traffic, score goals, had great moves, 448 career goals, 988 career points. Absolutely deserves to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He will get there at some point. And congratulations to Paul Pierce, Don Cherry, Dion Branch, Julie Foudy, Richard Petty, and Jim Lonborg, all honored at the tradition to benefit the Sports Museum last night at the TD Garden. I actually got to hang out with Terry O'Reilly, Rick Middleton, and Don Cherry, the legendary coach.
How cool is that?
You can go to the Lorne Wally Facebook page to see some of the pictures, and I'll post it at WROR.com. What a great night. Patriots gearing up for Sunday's tilt with the Vikings in Foxborough. Tom Brady limited in practice yesterday because of that nagging knee injury. Celts in action tomorrow night hosting the LeBron-less Cleveland Cavaliers. And planning on going to see the Red Sox and the Yankees play in London next June. Premium seats will run about $500 a ticket. They do offer a $38 ticket, but that's somewhere out near the Scottish border, I think.
Yikes.
It's in the Olympic Stadium. All right, pre-sale for Sox and Yanks season ticket holders begin tomorrow. Tickets available to the public December 6th. I'm Hank Morris. That's a look at sports.
Okay, Brian Bellbusters coming up next.
That's right, and I'm going to call David. His wife, Claire, wanted me to get him, and David works at a pizza place. And I'm going to call and just try to pay for a pizza by paying it backwards.
Are you trying to say pay it forwards? Like when somebody pays it and then the next person doesn't have to pay? I think that's what you're trying to
right, get. Yeah. So like I don't have to pay because the person behind me is gonna it'll pay it backwards.
You gotta pay it full. Like it'd be like you paid for the next person's pizza and then they don't have to pay.
Do I have to pay for my pizza too then?
If you want to pay it forwards, yeah, you do.
No. See, I want to pay it backwards.
Right, right. Yeah, listen, buddy. I don't know what you're smoking, but
105.7 WROR.
The Lorne and Wally Show.
Hello.
The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. The Lorne and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
It's David's birthday. He works at a pizza place. His wife, Claire, contacted me for a Brian Bellbuster. Uh-huh. And so I'm going to call him and try to pay for my pizza by paying it backwards. Not paying it forward.
Okay.
By paying it backwards.
Okay.
All right.
Large pizza.
Yeah, I'd like to order a pizza.
Okay, great. What size?
If I could get a gluten-free pepperoni, bacon, black olive, and pickle pizza, that'd be great.
You said pickle?
Yeah.
Pickle.
Yeah.
All right, gluten-free. And
then can I get two regular large Hawaiians? That'd be great.
Two regular large Hawaiians. You want anything to drink with that?
Sure. Some Cokes would be great.
All right. Throw in a two-liter?
Sure.
All right. That'll be $38.94.
Cool.
So how do you want to pay for that?
I would like to pay it backwards, man.
Pay it backwards?
Yeah, so like whoever calls in right after me will pay for my pizza.
Yeah, that doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it's like a viral sensation, man. So like, you know, you see it like on the news. I bet the news will probably come and cover this if we get it going, you know? But somebody has to be the first one, so I'll pay it backwards, okay?
Are you trying to say pay it forwards? Like when somebody pays it and then the next person doesn't have to pay? I think that's what you're trying to
right, get. Yeah. So like I don't have to pay because the person behind me is going to pay it backwards.
You got to pay it full. Like it'd be like you paid for the next person's pizza and then they don't have to pay.
But then would I be paying twice? Do I have to pay for my pizza too then?
If you want to pay it forwards, yeah, you do.
No. See, I want to pay it backwards. That's the trick. I want to pay it backwards. So whoever calls in next will pay for mine. So it's all cool.
Right. Yeah, listen, buddy, I don't know what you're smoking, but that's not how it works. And you can either pay with cash or credit card or pay it forward and pay double for somebody else's pie the next person called in. That's too much what our option.
You want me to pay twice for my pies? Now I don't get it, man. I just want somebody else to pay backwards. You pay it backwards, and then the news cameras show up, and you guys will get all this free publicity. It'll be awesome, you know?
I mean, or you could pay for everybody's pizza and bring the news down, and then they'll also show up. What about that? There we go.
Wow, man. I don't have that kind of money. Maybe you could. How about you pay for my pizza, and then the next person pays for your pizza?
You know, I got a better idea. Why don't we just give away pizza for all weekend?
Great. I will take a gluten-free pepperoni, bacon, black olive, and pickle, and two large Hawaiians. Thanks for the offer, man.
Yeah, I got your order. Thanks so much. It'll be ready in 3 days.
Okay. You know, I know who might be able to pay for this.
Tell me who could pay for this, because I'm getting real agitated right now.
Brian Bell from the Lauren and Wally Show. Hey, David, this is a Brian Bell buster right here.
No, I have been listening to you guys for years.
Your wife Claire called us and said that it was your birthday, and maybe we could have a little fun with you at work.
Well, I don't know how much fun I was, but I just had a little bit of stuff.
Not as much fun as that guy was having, let me tell you.
Yeah. I wish I was off work hanging out with him right now.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening to the Lauren and Wally Show and WROR, and have a great birthday, okay?
Oh, man. Claire, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, you can get her back on her birthday.
She knows.
All right.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Well, you can tell the Christmas season is here.
Yep.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was on TV on Tuesday night.
Yes.
The network TV.
The famous Rankin Bass production.
The longest-running special in the history of TV. It's been on every year since 1964.
Whoa.
Might be time to end it.
No.
Bite your tongue.
Hank's all-time favorites, right?
You know, and Santa Claus is coming to town. I love the claymation. It's like part of the soundtrack to my life. Yeah, but I think it might need
an update. But it's mean. It's super mean. Every time I watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I'm like, boy, Santa is a real monster, and so is that coach and everybody else. Yeah. And the parents are terrible.
I was at least proud that, like, my son, who's 9, he was like...
he picked up on himself,
like,
didn't he?
Yeah, he's like, you're really mean. Like Santa's mean, and the coat. It's good pickup there, buddy.
I understand conflict. I mean, in order to have a good show, you need
conflict.
Some conflict.
Yes, okay.
But I feel like you're taking the most beloved characters and in the world and making them kind of terrible.
Yeah.
I understand the lesson, but I also think it's like...
I don't think there's a very good lesson in it either.
No, it isn't, because you know what? The thing is, and spoiler alert, Rudolph is abused by Santa, and Rudolph still bails him out at the end.
Do you want to hear the...
This is the bullying.
The moral is supposed to be the things that make us different are the things that actually make us special.
Which is true.
Which is very
terrible.
It really is. The things that make you different are only good if they're useful to the popular people.
That's so totally true. Like, we have the clip. Don't we have the clip of him being bullied?
This is right from the show. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is what made the Twitter universe explode.
Hey, look at the bee.
Hey, buy us new.
Hey, ball boys. Hey,
Schnapp. Stop calling me names.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself. What a pity. He had a nice takeoff, too.
All right, now, yearlings, back to practice. Oh, no, not you. You better go home with your folks. From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games, right?
Wow. It's mean.
I mean, I get it, because it's classic.
You know what I love about it, though? In the end, good prevails.
No,
and everybody gets knocked down in life a little bit, whether you've been on a sports team or whether it's a clique in high school or... You know, the kids in the neighborhood don't want to play with you. I face that a lot. In the end, Rudolph and his specialness, everybody's a unique individual, and they couldn't do it without him. So everybody has a place in the world, and that's what I take from it.
Yeah.
It's okay to be different.
If it's useful.
Yeah. It's, you know.
I don't know.
They didn't even say, like, hey, Rudolph, sorry about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
They were like, all right, you can leave the sleigh.
No one says we were wrong about this. We were wrong about you. There needs to be one, like, extra scene or line where it's like, we were wrong and you were right. And then, I don't know, like a song.
But that doesn't happen in everyday life, though, either.
I understand what you're saying.
Whether it's in the office or...
You're talking about reality.
And that's
snowmen
me, but
don't sing in reality either.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want the takeaway lesson to be... The world is full of jerks,
and sometimes you just have
to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Sam playing on a basketball team. Sometimes he's going to have a bigger kid or an older kid who might say something to him, like he's a great basketball player. One of the older kids might resent it. I think it's a good way for kids, you know, they connect with Santa and Rudolph, for them to see, okay, in the end,
I might be a little bit different, but I'm okay.
And I see the entire problem, basically, is Santa's supposed to be nothing but good.
Right, you know? Exactly, and he's not good.
And he's not good in this particular
case.
Not
to mention, Hermes a sociopath. Okay.
But what...
You're just an anti-dentite.
True,
no,
yeah.
I mean, he took dentist you know lessons what we need? From the marathon
we need,
man.
We need a new millennium type of Rudolph
we
the
do.
Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it might go something like this.
How does a young buck reindeer, one who was constantly mocked and dropped in the middle of a forgotten island full of misfit toys where nobody could tell you what his name is, grow up to be the one who's the most famous?
Oh,
the same reindeer who led Santa through the fog and wind, globe-trotting by not letting fear stop him, got treated like a dogging and made it a tough slogging. He was green, he barely had antlers upon his noggin.
And every day his playmates berated him by calling him names, and it was lame. He struggled and kept his guard up. Inside he was tired of hearing the same old line. He started making use of his nose. It was super shiny.
Well, the word got around. They said his theory is insane, man. Wasn't very long before the word got to the big man. All the other reindeer used to ban you from their games, but the world's gonna know your name. What's your name, man?
Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer. My name is Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah. What do you think?
We ain't never seen the book here.
Good old Lauren and Wally Show.
Holy
105.7 WROR.
Okay, as promised, it's time now for your Men for Maine episode. Now, I must warn you that today's episode you might find rather shocking. So, prepare yourself. Here we go.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Effie comes home unexpectedly and walks in on Ephus in bed with a strange young lady, and we hear...
Why, Ephus, you no-good cheating son of a dog. I have a good mind to divorce you right now on the spot. You better have a good explanation for yourself.
Well, now, wait a minute, Effie. It's not what you think.
Well, you better start explaining.
Well, all right. I was on my way home, and I saw her hitchhiking. So I stopped to see if I could help her out. She was very hungry, so I brought her home, and I fed her that meatloaf that I made the other night that you didn't like. And then I noticed her shoes had holes in them. So I gave her that old pair of shoes that you haven't worn in years. And I saw that her shirt was torn and ragged. So I gave her that old blouse you always hated. And her jeans were all patched up, so I gave her that old pair that you've grown out of.
Oh, sure, but how did you end up in here?
Well, as she was leaving, she asked me, "You got anything else your wife doesn't use?"
Oh!
Oh my God!
Again, for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Hey,
right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
More Lorne and Wally now on 105.7 WROR.
So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our weekly visit with Mr. Everything himself. The Bob Ryan Report, brought to you by Clinton Savings Bank, an experience you can bank on. And now here he is, Mr. Everything, Bob Ryan.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning.
Well,
beautiful morning.
So how did you like traditions last night?
Oh, you know, I go every year, and I, you don't want to deal with superlatives because you want to make sure they're meaningful, but I think it was the best one I've been to.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it, and everyone was great, and there were great moments of hilarity and clarity, and it was really good. And of course, the highlight was I saw Hank. So I mean,
of course, yeah,
and Wally. So I mean, that's enough. I probably should have just gone home right there.
We had to wait in line to speak to Bob because everybody there was there to see Bob.
Everybody wants to talk to Bob Ryan.
Yes, they do, yeah. And he's a gentleman.
Okay. How was the Paul Pierce?
I've gained in these 35 years of our association.
Well, that's true. That
I want to know how the Paul Pierce piece of the evening was.
Well, the Paul Pierce was very interesting. You mentioned that. He was terrific, but you know, the way it works for people who don't know is they don't do speeches, which is one reason why it works very well. They have a little Q&A, and the hosts are Tom Caron and Jackie McMullen, and everyone that is honored comes up with a presenter.
Well. Yes.
And Kendrick Perkins was Paul Pierce's choice. And now they're going on for about 5 minutes, and Kendrick Perkins sitting there minding his own business, and I'm thinking, God, ask the guy a question. The guy's come from wherever. He's just sitting there like a gigantic, he's 6'9", 250, bumping the log. Get him involved. Oh, my God, when they got him involved. I'm not sure. I'm surprised he's not still there telling stories. He was terrific. And because another interesting highlight was is that Dion Branch was quasi X-rated.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Him out for the Nessun telecast a little bit. It was in good fun, you know, but it was he was telling stories. And, you know, when boys will be boys, sometimes the language is a bit blue.
I can understand.
You know? Yes. It happens. But, no, it was a wonderful evening. And I recommend it to anyone who loves Boston sports. It's for a great cause, the Boston, New England Sports Museum. And for people who don't know, the Sports Museum is not simply in existence to, you know, that for you to look at old artifacts. They're very active in the community. They have a great program about bullying and, you know, preventing bullying in schools, and they have a thing called Stand Strong, and they do a lot of good work, and it's a wonderful evening. I recommend it highly.
Well, here we go into a new weekend of football, and the Celts have got a couple of days off here. Now, maybe it's just me, Bob, but after this past week, I feel a little better about the Pats, but I feel a little worse about the Celtics.
Okay, so. You're right to feel good about the Pats, because simply a matter of health. Having Gronk on the lineup at the same time with Edelman and getting Shaq Mason, who was their best offensive lineman, or was certainly one of their two along, back is really important. And you saw that, having a healthy Sony Michel in the running game, that was a more complete team that you saw last week. And if they can stay healthy, it's all good. It's football. It's hard. Then I feel better about them. Now, as far as the Celtics are concerned, we had reached a point where I call the grasping at straws moment.
Yep. Yeah.
When anything good they did would be a welcome sight, because and that game against New Orleans, I'm wondering, they beat the Pelicans on Monday night. They look good. They seem to find a little formula with the lineup. They put Marcus Smart in the starting lineup.
Yep.
And I'm wondering that if maybe when we look back at the end of the year, after they've straightened themselves out and they've gone on and they won their 50 games and they've got a good seed and they're going to look good going to playoffs, we're going to say, you know, it all began on that night in November when they beat the Pelicans, you know.
I thought that moment was going to be when we beat Toronto a couple of weeks ago.
But I'm saying we'll see.
You know what I'm curious about, Bob?
One more time. They do not need new players. Those players we have are good enough. They got to play better, and they got to play better together, and they got to play harder. We have the talent to have a very good
game. Should some of that talent, like that Pelicans game, you know, Jaylen Brown sat out, and they were great. Should he be worried?
Well, he should be like foaming at the mouth to get back in the action is what he should be. You know, he took a wicked fall, and you know, let's start with that. We want him to be okay. Yeah, he's not the same this year. He's not the only one. Bozier has to play better. Tatum, who we thought was such a wonderfully precocious and mature young man last year, he's not the same, or hasn't been the same, and his talent level hasn't changed any, but his approach has not been quite as good. But I felt pretty, you know, hopeful. That's all about. Okay. Now they got a winnable game, obviously against the Cavaliers, and we'll see what happens there. But
yeah, we thought the Knicks was a winnable game too.
I don't want to get overboard about it, but I was slightly encouraged.
Okay, good.
No, tonight, I'm a big Bruins fan. Tonight, they're finally retiring the number of Rick Middleton.
50. Nifty gets retired, and a lot of people, they're very excited about it. He has a lot of friends, and he's it is nice. And the retirement nights are nice, are very nice. They're always fun. He was a really elegant player. You know, he really was. What a nickname, you know, Nifty, because his hands were so good. He saw things happen before they happened. He was a very, very clever player.
Does he belong in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I think that, you know, to the degree, if we want to play the game, if so-and-so's in, then so-and-so, why isn't so-and-so in? The answer is yes.
Okay. Over the holiday weekend, I, like many people, rented the Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson thing. I thought it was fantastic entertainment. Mm-hmm. And the word on the street this morning is that Tiger's calling for a rematch.
Rematch?
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah. And I didn't get to see it. And I know there was a lot of glitches about the pay-per-view and all that happened. And I'm sure he is looking for a little bit of revenge. It's interesting how they've come full circle, because they weren't always cumbayados.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, and it's nice.
Well, do you have any shameless plugs?
Well,
for us
this morning? We have the Sports Reporters podcast tomorrow morning with Mike Lupica and Mitch Albom, and I will be on Around the Horn on ESPN at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Excellent.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay, Mr. Everything, thanks, Bob Ryan. Have yourself a great one. We appreciate your reporting. Okay.
You betcha.
Okay, see you later.
Okay.
This is the Lauren and Wally Show, featuring all the entertainment news you need. The 745 Dirty Laundry with LBF. 105.7 WROR.
can we please play Grosser Than Gross?
Well, before we get to the most disgusting thing you'll hear today, wow. We're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the Bob Marley Holiday Show December 28th at the Chevalier Theater in Medford.
Excellent.
Give us a call, 15th caller, 617-931-1057.
Funny, okay. Funny show.
Now that that's out of the way, what's Grosser Than Gross? That's
okay,
a game I used to love to play because you just get really gross. Well, Mel B from the Spice Girls, she's grosser than gross, and what she did is pretty amazing. She got a divorce from Stephen Belafonte. She claims he abused her, but then she had a little bit of a problem, and then she took care of it. And this is going to make you gag.
What I went through was so horrific, and this one particular tattoo that my ex had forced me to have was Stefan till death do us part. You own or I own my heart. And I just thought, I can't go through the pain of getting it lasered off, because laser is actually more painful than getting the tattoo off. Hmm. And it takes about 4 or 5 times to get it lasered. So I convinced a good friend of mine, a doctor, I said, can you just cut it off my body? I wanted him removed. So he just did a cut of just his name, and I've saved it in a jar, which sounds a bit strange.
Ooh.
I know.
Where do you keep it?
Oh, at the top of my wardrobe. Well, nobody can see it, but I know it's there, and it's off my body, so it makes me feel so much better.
So that's it.
Wow.
So
okay.
I get the removal, extreme. But the piece of skin in the jar.
In a jar.
Although you guys.
It's a little silence of the lambsy.
It's totally. But you guys, I heard this, and you and I talked about this. There was a woman whose husband died, and she had his tattooed skin framed.
Removed. He was a tattoo artist,
yeah.
And they removed his skin and made it into a piece of artwork.
Which,
jeez.
That
which
is, you know what? That's that grosser than gross.
Is little,
that
yeah.
is grosser than gross.
That's taxidermy for love.
Oh, okay. Ugh. So you guys, I have some other
where
fun
do we
news.
Go from there?
Well, go to Giselle.
Oh.
I feel better.
Okay.
I feel better.
Giselle.
I feel better already. Hey, she's going to be at the Brookline Booksmith December 15th at 5 p.m. for a 30-minute reading about how her life is better than yours. there are only 120 tickets available. They're $28 each, and they include a pre-signed copy of her book, but they're limited, and I think that that's going to be a big event. So just FYI.
Okay, so she's already going to sign the book, and so it doesn't sound like it's going to be personalized. Like,
no.
Okay, this is for my best
friend,
Wanda.
No. It won't be like a book signing. Like,
yeah,
she's
right.
just going to be reading in a Q&A.
Okay.
The books are already signed, but that should be a big event. Mark it down, December 15th. I don't know how, you got to go to brooklinebooksmith.com for more information on how to get one of those 120 tickets.
Wow.
Speaking of ordering, you can pre-order the 18-track Hangin' Tough 30th Anniversary featuring New Kids on the Block's 10 original songs.
Get out.
And they have three new songs on it with Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, Salt and Pepper. It's going to be great. You can pre-order
it's Deborah
now.
No,
Deborah.
It's never Deborah. It's Debbie. Debbie. March 8th, that's going to drop.
Are they going to do the new tour?
I think they're going on tour. Yeah, I think they're going on tour with them.
You need new Adidas Gazelles then for Christmas. That's what you need.
Yeah, you do. It's and then I want to just mention today that today marks 1 year since Matt Lauer was canned from the Today Show.
Has it just been a year? Seems like forever ago.
Does it?
Yeah, it does to me.
Yeah, anyway, he is not doing so great. Well, I mean, he's doing well, because he's worth about $80 million, but his wife is divorcing him. No one really wants to hang out with him. He has nothing but time on his hands, and he's not even dating, and he spends most of his time with his kids, which we all know is awful.
a fate worse than death.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Ho, ho, ho. Okay, everybody, coming up next, we've got a Brian Bellbuster for you.
Oh, yes.
And we got a winner standing by here, too.
All right, yeah, actually, I'm going to call David. His wife, Claire, wanted to get him. He works at a pizza place, and I'm just going to call him and try to pay for the pizza by paying it backwards.
Are you trying to say pay it forwards? Like when somebody pays it and then the next person doesn't have to pay? I think that's what you're trying to
get. Right, yeah. So, like, I don't have to pay because the person behind me is going to pay it backwards.
You got to pay it forward. Like, it'd be like you paid for the next person's pizza and then they don't have to pay.
Do I have to pay for my pizza too then?
If you want to pay it forwards, yeah, you do.
No. See, I want to pay it backwards.
Right. Yeah, listen, buddy. I don't know what you're smoking, but that's not how it works.
105.7 WROR. This is the Lauren and Wally Show.
So we got to say good morning to Jeannie, who's on the line this morning. Hey, Jean, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Great, thank you. 15th
Better now.
Caller. 15th call. What do you got for
you? You want a pair of tickets to see the Bob Marley Holiday Show December 28th at the Chevalier Theater in Medford. You can get tickets and more info at chevaliertheater.com or WROR.com. And you're going to have so much fun because he's so funny.
Have you ever seen Bob Marley?
I have not. I'm into comedy big, so this would be awesome.
Okay. Fall down funny, man. It's great. Hey, have a great time at the show, and thanks a million for being a member of the Nation. We appreciate it, okay?
Thank you guys so much, and okay. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. You too.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Here we go. It's time for the thrills and chills of Win a Grand in 60 Seconds. It's time to meet our player this morning who's going to challenge the mystery the mystery lady, LBF, who is all these questions.
Such a mystery.
Very, very, the mistress of mystery. Donald Gay is his name. He's from Somerville, Massachusetts, where he is a handyman. I would assume a jack of all trades and a master of many, right?
Yep.
Nice.
Good. So, Donald, here's the deal. LBF has 10 questions that she's crafted for you to answer. You'll have 60 seconds to answer these questions. If you get them all right in that 60 seconds, we give you $1,000 in cash from Century Bank. It's very simple. Now, remember, you can say pass at any time. If you still have time left over at the end, we'll come back, pick up the ones you said pass on. You get them all right, you get the cash. You got that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Let's play Win a Grand in 60 seconds.
What are you supposed to do at a yellow light?
Slow down, prepare to stop.
Anne Frank lived in hiding in what city?
Amsterdam.
What was Cliff Clavin's occupation in Cheers?
Mailman.
Who is known for formulating the theory of evolution?
Darwin.
Saving Private Ryan took place during what war?
World War II.
Who won the first Army-Navy game in 1890?
Army.
What building is on the back of a $20 bill?
The Capitol.
Name the three primary colors.
Red, blue, yellow.
What does the I stand for in MRI?
Imaging.
What state slogan is Land of Enchantment?
New Mexico.
That's 10.
Oh, you got it. Okay, you got them all in.
Got them all in. Okay. And you were fast and excellent.
Very,
but
very fast. Okay, now the question
you got
is.
Two really wrong.
Good.
That's it. But you were so
that was
good.
Awesome.
That was
good.
So good.
Very impressive.
One of the best.
I mean, you really just. That was amazing.
Question six and seven are the two that you missed
the,
here.
Navy won the first Army-Navy game, 24-0, by the way.
They haven't won since.
Yeah, it was a 50-50 choice on that one.
What building is on the back of a $20 bill? The White House.
Bummer.
But, oh, my God. I can't believe you got the Land of Enchantment.
That was very
Everybody
good.
Knows that.
I don't know anything. You'd think I'd know more with
okay.
these quizzes.
Hey, we got a great consolation prize for you. I think you're going to like this, Donald. A family four-pack of passes to get in the spirit with Santa at Sea. It's aboard the luxurious Beauport Cruise Lines in Gloucester. This is really good. You go out on this beautiful yacht. You sing holiday carols to the elves, enjoy hot cocoa, cookies, listen to reading the night before Christmas, and a visit from Santa Claus himself is going to be on the yacht. So, hey, have a great time. And by the way, anybody else wants to take this cruise, go to BeauportCruiseLines.com for more information. Hey, Donald, you did a great job, and thank you very much for being a member. Have yourself a terrific day.
That's what I usually get when I listen to the show. I usually get 8 out of 10.
Wow, all right.
You did
fine. Have a great
awesome.
One.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Okay, now look, anybody else? You think you can win the $1,000? Well, all you got to do is register and get 10 answers absolutely correct. You register by logging on to WRR.com. Okay, coming up next, we got some. This show on A&E, it was on A&E, wasn't it?
The Clinton Affair.
The Clinton Affair.
All right, it's all about Monica Lewinsky and
Bill
Clinton.
Big
and all
ratings.
That stuff. Yeah.
People were really into this.
And we have Nicole Russo in studio. She was an intern during that time and actually testified in front of the grand jury, so we got the scoop on this.
I saw a picture of her standing with Bill Clinton, too.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Okay, stand by.
She lived to tell the tale.
Amazing. Okay.
Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
On 105.7 WROR.
Okay, so after the past, over the past 10 days or so, hundreds of thousands of Americans have gone back in history and visited the past. And it's not that far and not that long ago, within the past 25 years or so. And they've gone back and watched A&E's The Clinton Affair. And they're fascinated with the whole thing.
Yes, this documentary that really goes through exactly what happened 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it's 20th anniversary of Bill Clinton being impeached.
Right.
And the thing is that It's just, it's so interesting because, I mean, it's history that we kind of didn't pay, we didn't pay attention to back then because we were young and in college or whatever. And
so much beer to drink then.
Exactly.
You had so much on your hands.
But even better is we have Nicole Russo, who was an intern at the time during this Monica Lewinsky scandal, and she actually was called to testify in front of the grand jury about the whole thing, and she's right here with us. Welcome, Nicole.
Good morning, Nicole. How are you?
Okay, good.
We've all known Nicole for years.
Yes, she's a PR maven and an awesome person all around.
And so you were an intern in the White House?
I was, yeah.
At that time?
At that time. I was there in 95. I started August of 95, and I stayed until December. And I liked it so much that after I graduated college, I went back and volunteered from June until August, and then I got a job.
Did you know Monica Lewinsky?
I did, yes. So she was there while I was there. And I was in the East Wing, as she was at the time. Legislative Affairs, where she worked, was in the East Wing. And I was on the second floor in the social office.
What is it like watching something that you lived come back in this form?
It's very surreal. Yeah. And as a lot of my Facebook friends know, I talk about it a lot because it was a big deal.
Really?
It was really fun and interesting. But seeing the faces of people that I used to work with back on TV again 20 years later has been really surreal.
It's like home movies.
It is.
With a twist.
It is. And it's bringing all these emotions back.
Right.
Some of them are the same emotions I felt. And then a lot of times now I'm reflecting and I'm saying, oh, God, we were really mean to Monica. Really mean.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you that. Like, so 20 years later, what's the biggest takeaway from this 20-year perspective?
So I think now I'm looking at her, and I don't know if it's because I'm a mom or I'm older or the whole Me Too era, but now I'm looking at her, and I just feel so bad that everyone turned their backs on her. No one had her back. She was young. Yeah. She was one of us.
And you're talking about none of the other interns had her back?
Well, no one did. No one
no
in the
one
White
did.
House.
No. Zero.
I was actually telling Lauren earlier that I was dating someone at the time who worked at the White House with me, and I happened to spread the rumors to him. And he got so mad at me for going against the president saying something that he broke up with me. And that
really?
Was
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's how
it's like House of Cards.
So there's strong loyalty
that's
there.
Really strong loyalty.
Now, tell me what happened when you were called in front of the grand jury. How did that happen? Like, what
so,
did everyone get called?
Not everyone. So what happened was I had a big mouth. So
well, you're
and
a
I
PR.
Still do.
That's
I
good.
Still do.
Here's what you have.
Exactly. And so at the time when I was back there as a volunteer, I had a Secret Service agent tell me what was happening. And so I then told everyone, which is awful.
That's so amazing, though. Wow. No. I love that you're like, he
okay,
told
now, wait,
me,
wait.
And then I told everyone.
Yeah. Okay, now, I hate to be real snoopy, but okay.
Yeah.
So the
you
secret
must have no security clearance.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fantastic.
The Secret Service agent is telling you what's going on between Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Well, we were out for beers. So it's awful.
I hear you. Okay.
Anyway, so then I ended up, I was living back in Boston at the time, going to grad school at Emerson, and I got a call from an FBI agent on my home phone, and they left a voicemail. So instead of calling back, I called my godmother, who was a lawyer at the time, and I said, what do I do? And she got me a lawyer and said, don't return any phone calls. He's taking it from here. So thankfully, I had a lawyer who worked
you lawyered
it.
Up, eh?
Yes. Well, I didn't know what they wanted.
Yeah, right.
And at that time, I didn't know anyone else that was being subpoenaed. So,
So now wait a minute. You get a call from an FBI agent.
Yes.
Okay. And the FBI agent says to you in the message,
My name is, I don't even remember what it was.
Right, yeah.
FBI Here's
agent.
My number. Call me back. And he didn't even say what it was about, but I knew at that time because it was right when everything was
and
breaking.
Did he say he was did he identify himself as an FBI
he
agent?
Did.
Okay.
He did.
Well, that'll kind of shake you up right away.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever have interaction with President Clinton himself?
Professional interaction, yes, I did.
Oh,
okay.
Yes. So I was in the social office, so anytime there were events at
and
the White
was
House,
very
I was
social.
There.
I bet.
He was very charismatic.
Yes, everyone says that he makes you feel like the most important person in the room.
He knew my name, and I had only been there for a couple months, and he would say, Nicole, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God.
He knows my name.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you went in front of the grand jury, what did you have to testify about?
So they asked me, well, first of all, I was really angry. So
yeah.
A lot of these issues that are coming back were thoughts and feelings was anger. And it was anger towards Monica for doing what she did. Uh-huh. It was anger towards the president for giving in and doing it. And it was anger towards Kenneth Starr for making a mockery of the presidency at the time. So I was just angry. And so when I went in and I took it as a joke. And so the first thing I did was bought a hot suit off of a woman in the North End who liked to go around and sell things that fell off the back of trucks. And I kind of did that as a snob. Like, if I show up, I'm going to do it my way. And then
that's awesome.
When I walked into when I first walked into the grand jury, I didn't realize there's not a judge. I don't know if you guys know that, but there's no judge in a grand jury.
Never been in a grand jury.
So I walked up and I sat in the judge's chair. And all of the Kenneth Starr lawyers were like, what are you doing? Why are you sitting there? And I said, well, where am I supposed to sit? And they said, get back down here and sit in the chair with us. So I did. And then they said to me, do you know why we brought you down here? And I said, no, I don't. And they said, well, we want to hear what you know. And I said, I don't know anything. I only know rumors and gossip. And they said, okay, well, did you believe the rumors and gossip? And I said to them, it doesn't matter what I believed. I said, I could believe the moon is made of cream cheese. Is that going to hold up in a court of law? And then they got really mad at me.
Really?
Really? Mm-hmm.
So then what happens?
So then they asked me a couple more questions, which I was very rude about. And the grand jury started laughing. And I wasn't doing it because I disrespect the process or anything. I was very honest, but I was angry that they brought me down there and spent the taxpayers' money. Right. And I said that to them. Mm-hmm. And so after that, they gave me money. So I got a daily stipend. And I took all the money that they gave me for food, and I went to my favorite bar, which is called the Irish Times in D.C., and I bought shots for everyone at the bar.
Well, that's the way to grand jury.
All right. Now, that's grand jury. Right?
I think you have a book to be written.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
And we're all just taking a little journey down our past, a path to the past this morning, because we have a special guest, Nicole Russo, young lady we've known for a long, long time, and it's all because the big feature they've had on A&E this week, the Clinton Affair. And hundreds of thousands of Americans have tuned into this, proving that it's still a very, very volatile subject here in America.
Yes, and Nicole Russo was an intern during that time. She got called in front of the grand jury. We talked before that she had Secret Service agents tell her that the president of the United States was having a fling with an intern, Monica Lewinsky.
Who she knew,
and
by the way.
She knew, and then she told everybody else, which I love that she owns it. But the question is that, you know, you were friends you knew Monica Lewinsky.
I did.
And then have you ever seen her since?
So I actually did. And for many years after this all happened, I kept saying to myself, if I ever see her, all I'm going to say is I'm sorry. That's all I want to do. Was apologize for not being nicer and for mocking her like everyone else in this country did.
Yeah.
And so I did. 2 years ago, I was in Philadelphia for the Forbes 30 Under 30, and she had given this amazing speech about cyberbullying.
Yep.
Yeah.
So after the speech, I found myself in a lobby with just her. There was no one else.
Wow.
And I walked right up to her, and I said, Monica, I don't know if you remember me. I was a White House intern. And I said, I was in the social office. Yeah. And she said, oh, you girls were mean to me. And I said, I know. And that's why I'm coming up to you right now. I just want to apologize. It wasn't right the way we treated you. None of us had your back. And I'm so sorry that you had to endure this.
And she said,
thank you. She said, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
And then I asked her for a picture, and she said no.
And why was that? Why did she say no?
She said no because I don't pose for pictures with anyone because of cyberbullying, and you never know.
I get that. Yeah.
She's a tough lady.
Let's face it. She's smart.
Yeah, really smart.
So smart.
Speaking of tough ladies, Hillary Clinton.
Did you meet her?
I did. So the office I was really the first lady's office.
Oh.
And she was very to the point. She was very direct. Mm. She was nice.
Did she know your name?
Not like warm, nice. She did not know my name like
but
her
Bill
husband did.
Did.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a shock.
There you go.
But she had us all in a row, asked us all where we were from, where we went to school, and what we wanted to do when we graduated. It was very like
regimented. Just, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, there's just, yeah. He's the social one, and she's like, let's get
give me business. The facts.
Yeah.
She's the business.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Linda Tripp.
I never met her, but watching her, what a snake.
Awful
human being. I mean, to do that to a 22-year-old, to have someone allow someone to have your trust, and then to go and call her out with the FBI, what she did in that hotel room, that's awful.
Oh, it was terrible.
I'm so glad that Monica was like, no, you're going to stay here and watch me suffer through this.
I know.
Okay. That was great.
Now, if we all had, coulda, woulda, shoulda, we all had our life to live over, if you had that period to live over again, what would you have done?
I would have stood up for Monica. I would have
been
by her side, and I would have said, this is awful. And we were just talking. I do think it is part of the Me Too movement, but not because she benefited from it. She lost out. She lost
her life.
She lost her life.
20 years.
She really did.
Yeah,
yeah.
She became the butt of a joke. Yeah. Totally did.
Awful. Okay. Dr. Joyce Brothers, the psychiatrist back in the day, it was in the documentary, was saying, what if your son brought home Monica Lewinsky? What would you do as a parent? And Monica Lewinsky's seeing this on TV, and this is her life. Like,
she's undateable,
unmarriable.
Right.
Like, they went just completely overboard.
And anytime anyone says her name, it has to do with, like, a sexual innuendo.
It's a punchline to a joke.
Awful. Yeah. Terrible.
I hear you. Yeah. Also terrible was the fashion in the 90s. Let me just say that.
But that's just another story for another time. Hey, Nicole, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And you've watched the whole thing on A&E.
Yeah,
can't wait. You can get it on demand now.
It's still on demand and stuff.
It's on demand.
Really, it's interesting to watch now.
It's history.
Yeah, I mean, 20 years ago, I was not paying attention to that stuff, and to see it now that I've got kids, and I'm like, wow, this went on.
Yeah,
what was I doing?
Holy cow! How could I miss that? Hey, thanks for being here this morning.
Really
appreciate it. Okay,
fantastic.
105.7 WROR,
the Lauren and Wally Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.